As an Arizona State University student in the 1970s pursuing a master's degree in fine arts, Gilbert photographer Neil Miller turned a chance encounter with Arizona's first outlawed motorcycle gang into an unusual relationship. This month, he will display the product of that relationship with The Dirty Dozen when he opens a show of the photos he took of the gang's everyday life. A 1975 article in Phoenix New Times described the Dirty Dozen as a group that ruled state highways for 30 years until some members eventually switched over to the Hells Angels. Unkempt and wild, with a fearsome reputation backed by criminality, the Dirty Dozen was Arizona's preeminent motorcycle club and would not allow other clubs to operate in the Grand Canyon State without its permission, the article said. Miller's work will be on display in The Dirty Dozen from December 16th to February 10th at Gallery 4, located in HD South, home of the Gilbert Historical Museum. Gallery 4 is curated by Alan Fitzgerald, owner of Art Intersection in the Heritage District. Miller's experiences with The Dirty Dozen ranged from charging down switchback-filled roads to the subtle relationships between members and the women who travel with them. Live hard and die young is what it was about. The reality of this lifestyle turned out to be true, he wrote. Miller was 30 when he met the gang. It was a party, and I had been photographing parties for several years. At the time, I was just working to add an ongoing photography project. But after one night out in the forest north of the Grand Canyon, I knew this would be a long-term encounter, he wrote in his artist statement. Any trepidation? There was some on the first run I went on, but it became apparent once the members got to know me. Everything went very well, said Miller. It was a closed group, but once accepted, easy to get along with. I had been riding motorcycles for over 10 years when this opportunity came up, so it fit my interest. I found that once you get past the social independence and the take-it-or-leave-it attitude, you find the club to be a family just out to enjoy life on their own terms, said Miller, adding, most members were hard-working, tax-paying people who spent their off time socializing and riding tricked-out two-wheeled vehicles. Along the way, this lifestyle led to bumping into rules, regulations, and the many dangers of living large. Miller's photographs, some in black and white and some in color, depict the rugged club members on their machines etched against the equally rough scrubland and mountainous backdrop that is Arizona's outdoors. Close-ups reveal the long-haired, tattooed, and leather-clad men in search of a different adventure than what regular life in the city brings. Miller used various methods to record the group riding. He set up his equipment from a high vantage point and took some photos out of the back of a pickup truck and others from a rented airplane. But I found riding on the back of a bike was the best approach, he said. I had been used to taking photographs while riding my own bike, and having two hands available allowed me to shoot quicker without worrying about where I was going. One of the best shots was taken pointing the camera backwards over my head. I probably would not do this now. Miller worked 39 years as a news photographer at Channel 10 and retired in 2009. Retired or not, photographers aren't far removed from their equipment. Miller's lens now focuses on street photography. Earlier this year, he was in Eastern Europe, and currently, he is in India doing what he loves most.
This is Dave Friends, volunteer reader and host of Book World, and you are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona. Don't touch that dial.
Just a brief public announcement. Santa Claus has made the staff at the National Federation of the Blind Institute honorary elves. He has asked for the help to send letters in Braille to very young boys and girls under the age of 10 who are blind. Go to https://nfb.org/santa-letters. Fill out the form by December 15th, 2017. Click submit and they will make sure Santa gets a letter out to your child. You will receive a reply from the North Pole in print and contracted Braille.
You're tuned to Sun Sounds of Arizona and KBAQ Phoenix HD3. Sun Sounds of Arizona's programming is primarily designed for and directed to people who cannot read conventional print due to a disability. Sun Sounds of Arizona is a public service of Rio Salado College. For more information, visit sunsounds.org.
And welcome back. The hour is now 9 a.m. here at Sun Sounds of Arizona, and it's time to continue with the East Valley News with, once again, our volunteer readers, Rustin Scherer and Nikki DeAndrea.
Welcome back with our continuing coverage of the East Valley Tribune. With no past, what future? Saving the East Valley's historic soul. Article by Gary Nelson, Tribune contributor. In the early part of the last decade, Gilbert was wondering what to do with a 230-foot-tall white elephant. The town's 1927 water tower, in the heart of the downtown Heritage District, hadn't been used since 1985. Why not just scrap it, some said, one less thing to worry about. But a groundswell of public sentiment saved the tower, which now anchors a mini-park that opened in 2008 and stands as the most recognizable icon of the little farm town that got big. Talk to any city planner, any architect, any visionary urbanist, and it won't be long before the words placemaking and sense of place occupy center stage in the conversation. The main idea being, if you don't know where you are, you're really not anywhere. Downtown Gilbert, with its grandfatherly water tower, is a prime example of placemaking. When you're there, you know it. That, in a nutshell, is the reason the East Valley's small army of historic preservationists is so busily trying to keep the wrecked ball away from the relics of our past. The irony of this example is that no latter-day developer had to make that place. It already was one. It just had to be saved, referencing Gilbert. And contrary to perceptions that could mistakenly be gleaned from our seas of built-yesterday neighborhoods, the region does indeed have a past. The area is dotted with icons that speak to the vanished natives of prehistory, to the taming of the Old West, to the dawn of America's automobile age, and on down to the post-war boom that cemented the country's status as a global superpower. They can be natural. Hayden Butte in downtown Tempe is an example, or man-made. They can be mammoth, like the Hayden Flour Mill, or as small as a neon sign. They can be beautiful, or as ungainly as, well, a water tower. And the history they represent can be that of a civilization on the move, or one stained by the darker forces of our nature. But every one of them, those already saved from destruction and those in danger, helped make this the place it is. Saving them is more than a matter of sentiment. John Southern, a professional historian who is Tempe's historic preservation officer, said saving the past is often a key component of ensuring a better future. There is a perception that preservation is largely an academic or nostalgic pursuit, Southern said. In actuality, there is a great deal of literature that demonstrates that preservation is a key component of placemaking. It brings authenticity to a destination that is desired by, for instance, the creative class that is so sought after in terms of bringing new residents and employees and employers. But if economics can help drive historic preservation, economics also can operate as an enemy. Southard is worried, for example, that the building boom in downtown Tempe could threaten the character of surrounding neighborhoods. More specifically, he noted that two of Tempe's seminal properties, the Hayden House and the flour mill directly across from it on Mill Avenue, are vacant. And to him, vacant means at risk. That area is really akin to Tempe's Mount Vernon, he said. Fortunately, plans are in the works for both properties, he said. Two 15-story buildings are planned for lots immediately next to the Hayden House, but the developers have agreed to preserve the house itself. And a Chicago developer is working with the city to rehabilitate and